Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow with just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hello everyone, I'm your host, Doran Rosenfeld, and tonight we have an interesting guest here with an interesting story, different from the kinds of things I usually do, so I can't wait to hear about what she has to say. And she is Karen Pudetti. She came straight out of college into a highly successful accounting career in corporate stuff, including working for several Fortune 500 companies, having trouble talking. But it just didn't light her up. So she decided to venture out on her own. She knew at 19 she wanted to be her own boss and work in the beauty industry. So Karen went back to school and received her electrolysis certification and her wax and aesthetic licenses. Knowing she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, working out of her house just 2.5 days a week, she soon was making over $100,000 a year. A small salon building she ultimately took over couldn't even accommodate the growth of her Luxe Salon Spa and Laser. The next thing she knew, she was at 9,000 square feet and expanding, springboarding, becoming one of the nation's leading consultants to other salon and beauty company owners. But Karen made a few mistakes along the way and has watched others struggle. Her firm commitment to help others who dream of a life as a successful entrepreneur, either in the beauty industry or any other retail service business, moved her to write Rags to Riches, How Beauty Icons Made It Big. In this book, she interviews some of North America's leading icons in the beauty industry to hear what wisdom they could offer from the experience of growing their own businesses, brands, and visibility to international sales and status. And she shares concrete guidance from her own experience. Not only has Karen Pudetti been a million-dollar business in beauty from the ground up, but she also has a highly successful clothing line, the Badass Clothing Incorporated, and a course, Rags to Riches in Action, that guides leaders step-by-step to financial abundance. And today, she's here to tell us about the inspiring beauty luminary in her work, Rags to Riches, How Beauty Icons Made It Big. So Karen, hello there.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. I know you've been involved in the beauty industry for a long time, since you were 19. How did you get into the beauty industry?
Well, when I was a little girl, my mom taught modeling, and I remember there was a big event going on at the school, and they were shooting several commercials. There was a runway show, And they had models from all over, like New York and a lot of the surrounding states. And so my mom brought my sisters and I to work just to see what, you know, what they were doing and, you know, kind of say, this is what I do at work. And my sisters and I, yeah, it was pretty neat. We got to have our hair done and our makeup done. And I just remember, when I was about, like, 8 years old, I remember thinking, oh, wow. You know, it was one of those times where you think you're kind of like an ugly kid, but all of a sudden someone works their magic. You're like, oh, wow, I actually look pretty. I feel pretty. And I just remember the way my sisters and I were, like, all done up and the feeling we got. And I remember thinking, I feel like I could do anything in life. I remember just thinking, I feel like I could do anything. And I felt, like, unstoppable. And I just remember through life, every time, like, I got, like, really nervous about something coming up, I remember that day and how I felt. And I would always kind of, it would register with me, like, you know, go out there, give it your best shot. And I just remember feeling so empowered. And I always remember that. And as I, you know, was in my corporate career, I kept always going back to that, thinking, I wish I could do that for other women. Give them that feeling, give them that look, have them know that they are unstoppable. So it kept coming back to me and back to me. And finally I said, you know what, I'm in the wrong industry. And that's when I really decided to change my, you know, going from accounting and finance and going into a kind of a beauty world.
Very interesting. How long did it take you to become financially successful once you got into this beauty world?
Well, that's a good question. Because I don't really have an exact answer. I kind of knew, there was a couple of things I knew in the back of my head, like someday I knew I wanted to buy a building and not have to lease or rent from somebody else. I wanted the asset. And I knew I wanted a pretty good-sized business with, you know, 50 employees. So when I started making money, I didn't just start spending it. I kept saving and saving and saving and saving. So I think, you know, when I knew I was making $100,000, it was good. It was great. It was wonderful. But I always had, like, my next step. Mm-hmm. So I think at certain times I was like, wow, I got to this step. And then, you know, when I finally bought a building and I moved in, I owned it, and it was my husband and I who actually bought the building. And we had 9,000 square feet, you know, for my business. And then there was another 6,000 square feet that we could rent out. So I had rental income. I kind of thought, like, wow. So it probably wasn't until that point did I finally feel like I got to one of my major milestones. And I was always the person that would always, like, dangle the carrot in front of myself. So once I got there, I already had another step in mind.
Very interesting. So that's becoming successful in the beauty industry. What inspired you to write a book?
Well, so when I actually, after, you know, I got Lux Salon Spa and Laser Center, and I was running, and you know, I was really doing really well with that. I was like, you know, I wanted to do consulting. I thought I've had to learn some things a really hard way, and I've learned a lot. And I know the beauty industry is one industry that only 1.7% of salons and spas ever hit the $1 million mark.
Wow.
I know prior to the pandemic, 20% of all of them that started out would close within 3 years. I know after the pandemic, 33% of all salons and spas closed. And the other thing is, many people who are amazing at their what they do, whether they're a stylist, eyebrows, nails, they are like at the top of their game. They go out and start businesses, but they don't really know how to run a business. So I was consulting for salons and spas and individuals one at a time. And I always kept thinking, I wish I could do more. I wish I could do more. And then when the pandemic hit, I was like, this is my chance. So that's when I said, you know what? I really want to take and write a book. and I want to help as many salons and spa owners, medi spas, whether people are just starting out or people who want to hit the $1 million mark. I want to put everything either I've learned, I've helped others learn, and put it into a book. So that's where the idea came about.
Okay.
But then I have to tell you the next.
Tell me what comes next.
So the next thing I thought about was like, okay, if I write a book about my, you know, I'm not a big name. I've run a very successful, started a salon spa. But, like, I want to pick gurus in our industry, and I want to all aspects of the industry. So people who actually started schools, beauty schools, people in medi spas. I have, Damone Roberts. He's a guru eyebrow person who does Madonna, Oprah's, and every huge star possible eyebrows. I have hairstylists, I have groomers, like, for instance, for Tom Hanks. I mean, I wanted a big name so people could really, you know, kind of say, oh, my God, this person. And these people are amazing. They started with really humble beginnings. And, you know, they had their ups and downs as well. And we talk about it in the book. So we talk about where they started, their ups and downs, and then, you know, how they finally made it. And it's pretty amazing. They're very forthcoming. You know, it's like talking to somebody who lives right next door, and yet they're, you know, millionaires in their own right. And so I love that. So I interviewed them and have that. And each person I interview is a different topic, like who is your niche, P&L, you know, your profit and loss and balance sheet, then there's expanding and marketing and just goes on and on. So it really can pertain to any business. So I tell their story in each chapter. And then what I do is I go into an assessment. For instance, if they're like talking about branding, I go into, you know, I'll ask them questions about branding just to see where they are so they can get an idea of where they are in their own process.
Okay.
And then the third part of each chapter is to really dive into, you know, what exactly is branding and give them examples and really kind of say in branding, you know, it's just not branding colors. It's a tagline. It's everything you do. It's your mission and vision. Everything's got to be tied in. So each chapter is broken down basically into those three parts, and there's a different person in each chapter. So I thought it's very entertaining. It has an assessment, and the assessment is kind of something that every year you can go back to it, and even if you've done some work, there's always some more work to do, so you can go back and take your assessment and pick the next two or things that you want to work on, and then work on your business with that.
Okay.
So that's where the book came about. I will tell you, then I got a little carried away because everything I've ever learned, I wanted in the book. Yeah, and it was like, oh, here's my marketing campaign, here's this. And then I finally thought, okay, it was getting too overloaded, so I kept the book like that, and then I actually decided I want to give my, you know, anybody who reads the book or wants to really start a business, be in a business, I wanted to give them a course. So I took the book and I expanded each of those 12 chapters into things that they could do. Or should do, and I gave them everything I use in my own business and anything I've given any of my consulting clients over the years, I've put it all into the course. So it's kind of like, here, follow these things, do this. So it's a great roadmap.
Very interesting. That's great. So I guess then you've talked about the biggest challenge writing the book. It was getting to be much too much, and you had to cut it down and make it so people would want to read it so they could learn from it.
Yes. I mean, I wanted the book to be very entertaining and then thought-provoking. And then wherever they are, whether they're starting out or the $500,000 mark, you know, have the assessment and then really break down like, okay, so branding, you really need to start with this. These are the things, the questions you have to be able to answer regarding your brand. And then these are some other things you need to be doing. So, yes, but when it came to the course, I'm like, everything, here's everything I've ever done, everything I use, here's my loyalty program, here's everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's a pretty extensive, you know, the course is pretty extensive, and it gives you everything you really need.
Okay. So tell me, how were you able to balance running the Salon Spa Laser Center, take more classes, consult with people, and write a book? How did you manage to do that all at the same time?
Well, you know what? Here's a couple things. The one thing I learned with my business, there's a couple things. I have a manager, and I set up my business like if I get hit by a car tomorrow, I'm in the hospital for 3 weeks, my business is going to run really smoothly. So I have people that will do my job and are really great at it. So we've always kind of cross-trained people, like even for my responsibilities, there's someone that can do it. Even for my general manager, she can do her responsibilities, but there's someone also to back her up. So I have always done it, and I'm really big. If you do anything more than once, it needs to have a system and a procedure in place so everybody knows what to do, how to do it, when it's done. So it becomes very, you know, everyone's on the same page. We have manuals. So nothing is left up to chance or, oh, my goodness, we have this, and it's a situation. No. Situation. We don't really run into that too much. So, honestly, staff can really, you know, come in, do their jobs. The business runs as is, and so that was huge. And I'm there every day, and so I did a lot of my writing and my interviewing and talking to people right there in my conference room in my office. So. It was a lot going on. Sometimes it would be kind of funny. Sometimes it goes, you know, Mary Smith's calling. And I'm like, Mary Smith, are we talking about the book, the course? Is this for Bat? And they, you know, my clothing line, what is it? And they'd have to say, oh, no, it's so-and-so regarding the book and the launch. Oh, okay, thank you. So, you know, they would keep me, like, that was one thing I'd be like, wait, who's that? But they were really good. So, and my assistant, and helped a lot. And then I had to get a social media person that could really handle all those things, because I'm a firm believer that, you know, I'm really good at certain things. And like most people, I'm not so good at a lot of others. And so if I'm not good at it, I need to hire somebody, find somebody to do those, because I'll just be spinning my wheels. And that was kind of hard at first, is to kind of let go and not try to do it all. But realize, whatever I can do that's money producing and I do well, that's what I should do. And I should let the other experts do other things that they're good at.
Smart, yes, that's very smart. That's something that everyone needs to learn.
Yeah, because especially in you know, any business, like, you know, people, for instance, if they're great, you know, hairstylists or extension people, and that's what they do, and then they go off onto, you know, they're going to start their own business. Now what happens is a lot of people end up, you know, they used to make a lot of money, but now they're making that money to support the business. And so now they don't have their money because it's going to other things that they need to pay. And that's where people who don't really know the business aspect, really, that's what happens. They end up paying more for the business than anything. So I tell people before they even start to get themselves aligned up with, if they're not good at accounting, get somebody in who's a good bookkeeper, get a good accountant, get somebody who's good at social media. If you're not a marketing person, get somebody who does that for you. And surround yourself with really great people.
Sounds like you managed to do that just fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, I had to learn that the hard way, you know, like, oh, marketing. Oh, you know, it's like December 15th. Oh, wow. It's, you know, so many days before Christmas. So, you know, the first couple of years I was like, this can't happen. So now we have a marketing calendar every year ready to go in January. And we look at, like, for instance, what the year before, what campaigns or what did we do? How much money did we make? Was it successful? Yes, then we'll do it again. If it wasn't, what could we tweak? Or was it just a disaster to never do it again? So, you know, every year you kind of tweak it and learn something else.
Okay. Okay. So, tell me, you know, you learned to balance all the things, but you also had to balance your book, your work, and with your family. What was
Yeah.
the
challenge
there?
I'm married and I have two daughters, and you know, my family, and I always say I'm a mom first, my family comes first. So there would be times like, oh, you know, my daughter, my younger one was sick, and you had to go pick her up at school, I'm going. And people knew, you know, I'm always a mom first. So you know, I'm very clear and upfront about that. You know, if my kids need me, I have to be there. But on the other hand, if, you know, my daughter's sleeping and it's 9 o'clock at night and I have deadlines, I'm up doing them. So, you know, and I truly believe with, like, my staff and my business that, like, we have a lot of people with kids of all ages. And I always say you're a mom first. Moms always come first. You know, stuff happens. It is what it is. You know, I'll be there to support you. And, you know, honestly, I've been very fortunate with that, that, you know, people are really good about it. They don't take advantage of it. So, yeah, and I never feel guilty for putting my kids or family first. So, yeah, I you know, the only thing everyone always says, what could you, if you could change anything, what would it be? And I would always say that I could add like 5 more hours to the day. That would be good.
Yeah, right. Okay, so essentially you went from doing the work yourself or working with the clients to working on the business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
so
a little tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
how
I even
you
tell
find
my,
that ask. Yeah.
Yeah, and I even tell my consulting clients now that at some point, you have to kind of make that decision from working with the clients to working on the business if you want the business to grow. And for a while, I worked like almost 7 days a week, and, you know, 5 with clients. And if someone canceled, I'd be running back to my office trying to do payroll. And then I'd go do a couple clients. And then if I had a 10-minute break, I would be figuring out the marketing campaign. And I was like, yeah, this is not going well. So it was kind of like, I was running around always. And so I decided that I wanted to start taking one day away from clients for the first couple months and keep leaning that way. But I was like most people, very, very nervous to let go of your clients. I mean, some of these clients I've had for like 15, 20 years. And so I brought somebody in, and they were like my shadow, and they were going to take on my clientele. And so, and I would talk to each client. So it was a long process, but I kind of did it that way on purpose. Like, I wanted to bring them in and introduce them, you know, the person that was going to shadow me and become kind of like me, to the clients and talk to them. And then I'd do the service with the new person there. And then the next time I'd ask if it would be okay if the new person did it while I was there. And it could be electrolysis, laser, facial, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the new person would take notes. I mean, and we would talk with the client like, okay, so, for instance, your laser and electrolysis, these are your settings. We're working on this. For electrolysis, these are your settings. We're working on this. And I'd say, you know, our plan of action is, you know, whatever it was for that individual. And she would write it all down and ask the client would ask questions. So, generally, the client would see us together about 3 times before I then was able to go and let the new person take over all my clients, but I would check in with all my clients. So it was a slow, methodical, process, but it, in doing so, I never lost one client, and that's what meant a lot to me.
That's great. Yeah.
Yes.
So you didn't lose anybody.
No, and that's something I've taught a lot of my consulting clients as they've, you know, as they've gotten bigger and we're making more money and really need to focus on the business is to do that. And they've been pretty successful in just taking really good care of their clients and letting them know, you know, you're not just, you know, here's somebody, good luck, but really taking care of them.
Okay. So that sounds really successful. And you talked about earlier, you mentioned you had to learn some things the hard way. Just tell us about one particular thing that you had to learn the hard way.
All right. Well, one thing that always comes to mind is that I came from corporate America and I had a staff. And so when I would go into those meetings, you know, it was like leading the team, and you would say, okay, you're in charge of this, you know, Ann, you're in charge of this, Bob, you're in charge of this, this is what you need to do, these are your timelines, this is what I need you to check in on. And they were like, yep, okay. So when I went in and started, you know, having a staff, I would kind of walk around and say, okay, Susie, I need you to do this, and Ann, you do this, and you do this. And I'd walk back to my office thinking, oh, that was a good productive day. Everyone's happy. And meanwhile, they weren't happy, and they were just getting annoyed with me. And I realized, like, my leadership had to really change because I was in a different atmosphere. So then one day there was several people who were just annoyed with me and I had to walk out. So I lost like 8 people within 3 days. And I realized like, crap. Yeah, it was devastating. And these people I liked. I mean, these people, you know, I always just adore the people who work for me and stuff. And it was just they were frustrated with me and I was frustrated with them. And I thought, okay. This has got to be a me problem. And I went and I looked for different classes. I found one on leadership. And the first thing I went, and I went to this class, and they talked about how, you know, what type of person you are as far as leadership. And I was basically, you know, dominant, do this, exactly what I was doing. But my entire staff was polar opposite. They were feelers. They were thinkers and stuff like that. Yes. So they wanted to be heard, and they wanted me to listen to them, and I just wanted to say, go do this, do that. And I was like, okay. So I went back to the remaining staff. I said, yeah, I have a lot to learn. And so we had this whole thing. We did this exercise as a team, and, you know, they told me what would help them, and I said, okay, I totally get that. Maybe sometimes when I say something like that, if it's not settling well with you, you got to tell me. Because I got to know right there and then. So we worked it out, and it was, you know, it was a struggle on me because I was used to just kind of telling everyone what to do. But by the end of the, you know, a few months later, it was just a totally different environment, and I was happier. They were so much happier. I think the team worked so much better together. But, I mean, I had to learn that the hard way, and, in all my accounting and my business classes, no one kind of told you that or showed you that. And so, you know,
yeah.
That was one thing.
Okay. So I'm sure, speaking of hard things in your business, I'm sure the pandemic, I mean, I know for around here, the pandemic hit that industry pretty hard. How did the pandemic hurt your business?
It was pretty crazy. I remember, you know, when they were talking about closing, and here's me, wishful thinking, we'll be closed maybe 4 weeks at the very most, you know, and everyone's coming to me. And all my consulting clients, and they're all over the United States, what should I do? What can I do? And I'm like, there's nothing really we can do. This is out of our hands. You know, fortunately, the majority of my clients were in a really good financial shape at that point where they could close the business and hang on to it and not go into red due to it, because so many salons, spas, medi spas really weren't prepared or ready forever for something like that to happen. Yeah, so it was kind of, I mean, I talked to a lot of people in tears and crying throughout that. You know, and I decided with my team that we would have once a week, we'd get on a Zoom call, and they would pick, you know, for 1 month it was like 7 o'clock at dinner for cocktail hour. One wanted to be lunchtime, and we would get together and on Zoom and just talk and how are we doing. And we'd talk about, you know, when it opens, what could we do, how are we going to make people kind of come in and feel comfortable. So I think having my team talking it through, everyone still felt part of the team. But, yeah, it was pretty bad. We were closed for, I believe, 16 weeks. And then and where I am in New York, where they opened, it was just hair alone. And the one thing that was a saving grace for my particular business is because it was so big. I have 9,000 square feet. We had a lot of room, so we could use every other station and stuff like that. But it was scary, and I know a lot of people didn't survive it. Right. So it was kind of crazy. And we sometimes look back now, and I think it really brought our team closer together because we are all in it together.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it was terrible. We tried to laugh through it all. I mean, I lost, and this was one thing that was pretty common in our industry. 20 to 25% of the people who were in the industry did not go back to it. They just stopped doing it altogether. And I had like 15 people who never came back. And so there's been a real shortage for a lot of the different technicians in the United States since then.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's still going on to one extent or another all over.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it will continue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And even like, for instance, like one of the biggest nail polish companies in the United States, OPI, they shut down completely.
Oh.
And they are just starting now to come back and start making. So you can't even get like OPI nail polishes. They're nowhere to be found.
Wow.
And then, you know, yeah, and then like a lot of organic products were really tough, so they've doubled in price. It's just been kind of crazy. I mean, for every industry as well.
Yeah, I guess human beings are realizing that maybe they're not as invulnerable as they thought. It's all the stuff going on in the world.
Exactly.
Huh. Okay. Well, then, switch gears a little bit. Did you always want to write a book?
I think I did a little bit as I was like getting into the business and stuff. I did. I think I kept learning a lot, and there's a lot of things in there in the beauty industry like people don't know. For example, most businesses, you know, ours is kind of different than most businesses because we give out approximately 50% of all the money coming in for any type of service goes back out in payroll. So there isn't any other company that takes in that much, you know, income but pays it back out. So when you start looking at your P&L, I mean, there's not, if you make a 15% profit at the end of the year, that's really good. And most people make less than 5. So there's several things like that. Like most people don't know what kind of back bar budget they should have. They don't know what a retail budget they should have. So it's a tricky business because there's not a lot of you know, wasteful room. And unfortunately, a lot of people in the industry do silly things with money as far as wasting it. What was that?
A lot of people do that in every industry, I'm afraid.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I had this one hair salon. They spent $10,000 on a cappuccino maker. And
what?
After they, yes, who would have thought after 6 months the thing would break down all the time? So they would spend like $5,000 a year to keep it fixed. I finally said to them, I thought, you know, maybe you could just go to regular coffee or something because this is ridiculous. I mean, the thing, the machine was gorgeous, and I don't even drink coffee or cappuccino, but I thought, yeah, this thing is a waste of money.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
There's always exciting stories. But how did you choose the specific people in your book that you wrote about?
Well, the one thing I wanted to do is I wanted to make sure I had people from all areas. I didn't want 12 hairdressers or 12 groomers. I have some eyebrows, nails, hairstylists, groomers. I have someone who is like in the top of, they're like one of the 12 known people in the business world regarding, you know, the beauty industry. I have someone, Susie Carter, who's written 12 books. She started her own salon at a very young age. She wrote Passions. She has become a profit coach. So people like all different areas. So I didn't want everyone to think that beauty, you know, the book is just about hairstylists. There was a girl who's she went to school and she ended up winning one of the most prestigious awards. It's called the Naha Award, right in school, and that was like nobody does that. I mean, she's like one of the only people who ever won that award while she was in school. So I researched. You know, I wanted all different areas, and I researched really big names because I thought that would be really interesting. And my team, we sat around the conference table and they would throw out names and like people would vote on it. Yes, no, well, they're under the question mark. So, and then once we had the list, I put a whole media media packet together and I sent it to them. And then basically I bugged the heck out of them until they agreed. But yes. They were very gracious, you know, they're very, very, very busy people. You know, they're like, well, I could do it, after all the awards because I'm doing so-and-so's hair for the Emmys and the Grammys. And, oh, okay, yeah, I can see that's important, yes. We'll wait.
Right. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So you kind of covered everything. You're trying to cover everything possible in that book, in your book.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, now to talk about your business specifically, what part of it excites you the most? I mean, if you have these people you're interviewing from every branch of it, what excites you the most?
The thing I love doing now is mentoring the my staff members. So at the beginning, it's actually in December, we have a meeting, and it's for the following year. And they basically tell me how much money they want to make. So if they say, hey, Karen, I want to make $100,000. I said, okay. And they work like 4 days a week. So we sit down and we see where they are, what they need to hit that to make that goal, and we will sit down and we'll break it down to a monthly goal, a weekly goal, even a daily goal, and we sit down and we kind of have to figure out a roadmap. I mean, that's what they want to do, so it really becomes our job together to make sure they get there. So what do they need to do? Do they need further education? Do they need to sharpen their skills at a particular area? So I love sitting down with them. So I sit with my staff, and it depends how long they've been with me. If they've been with me like 8, 9, 10 years, we sit down once a month, because at that point they're already kind of, in my mind, the rock stars. They're making what they want. They're coming in. They're doing their thing. But we meet just to see how, keep on, you know, in touch and keep on base of, you know, make sure everything's going well. If there's somebody who's a newbie, for instance, you know, we have a lot of training we give our employees. So they have to go through the training, and they'll basically have a one-on-one with me every week. And so they get to the point where, you know, now they're on the floor, and I have secret shoppers come in. And so for a while they'll be with me, you know, meeting with me, going over things. How's their numbers? How's your handshake? How do you wrap up when you're done with somebody? How do you walk them to the counter? What do you say? So we'll do that. And then after they've been there like a year, maybe a year and a half, they'll go to every other week. But my job is to really mentor them and to see them, you know, to make sure they're meeting their goals and give them the tools they need. That I love doing, because I love when they hit their goal. I mean, I have people who've bought houses, sports cars, you know, they took their very first vacation. And so they're living their best life, and that's when you know they're happy, they're content, they're doing well. I've really, over the years, that is the thing I love to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it kind of changed, like, from the business aspect to running the business, doing the business, and then that was good. But then, you know, as I kind of grew, and I don't want to say mature, but grew with the business, it was, I like seeing them and their excitement when they get to where they want.
Very nice. Okay, so what do you think makes for this ideal candidate to run a profitable business? I mean, you said you worked with people, but what makes an ideal candidate?
So, you know, and that's one thing, like, I tell my consulting clients, I mean, everybody has an ideal staff member, an ideal client. Your ideal staff member will be different from mine, will be different from the next one. I look for somebody, I'm not looking for them to already be a great esthetician or a great hairstylist. I want somebody, and if they are, that's great, but I need someone that wants to learn, that wants to be the best of the best in their, you know, niche, whether it be hair, nails, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they have that drive and that stamina to go there, because in our industry, it takes a lot of work to build a book, you know, as far as your clients and stuff like that. So
mm-hmm.
I look like that. And I need someone who's coachable. You know, if I get the person that's like, oh, I know, you know, then they think they already know anything, and no matter what you say, it's just not going to work out. You know, because I've run into people like that. I know. Okay. So, I mean, we have protocols that I want them to follow, but, you know, I have people that will bring new ideas, new things to the table all the time, and I love that. I want somebody who's coachable, who wants to be the best of the best, that wants to make a lot of money, honestly, and has the drive and ambition to do it. That's, and, you know, and the other thing is I look for somebody that, my particular clientele is high-end, professionals, very nice, and I look for somebody in my staff to that as well. You know, I don't want the feel of a neighborhood, you know, little bar or, you know, barbershop where you come in, hey, sit down, I'll be with you in a minute. You know,
yeah.
So we have, and the other thing, the one of the things that I do a lot is, when someone comes in, I'm the last person to interview them. I have the general manager interview them, and then I have two or three people from each department. Like, say, if they want to cut hair, they'll talk with two or three people in the hair department, or nails, or massage, or laser, whatever department they're interested in. Because
mm-hmm.
my staff will tell me yes or no immediately. They'll know if they think it's a good fit, and I learn to trust them, and it works out really well. And then at that point, if everyone's like on board, then I'll interview them.
Okay. Well, Well, sounds easy. Heck, anyone could do this, right?
No. You know what's funny? I don't like interviewing people. I'm terrible. I asked like 4 questions, and used to think, oh, if you have a heartbeat, you'll work out fine. So it took me a long time. That's why I go last, because I'm terrible at it.
Listen to you. You're calling a real pro from this end. But now you take special pains with this consulting business. So did your consulting business help your salon and spa profit?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because everything, you know, I'm a true believer, and everybody you talk to, you can learn something from. So there were things I would go to a salon or spa and they'd be doing something else, and I'd be like, oh, that's a really great idea. I'm going to steal that and go back and use it at mine. You know, so you would learn from other people as well. So, yeah, and the other thing is, if it worked really well for me, I want other people to do it, because I know how it works, why it works, and I can explain and teach them that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I do really believe, because of my accounting and finance background, you know, most people in our industry, that's not their forte, and so they don't have a lot of knowledge about it. And I think that's truly where I stood out as far as running the business. And I kid my staff. They always say, oh, Karen, there's a new massage bed I want. I'm like, uh-huh, how much is it? And they go, it's $6,000. And I would tell them, you know what, we can't afford that right now because we just bought a new laser, but that will be the next big thing we'll purchase. But this is what I need you guys to do. I need you to start doing, you know, extra add-ons and things of that nature. And they get it. So where other businesses, they don't have that finance, this background to say, no, we can't afford it. Sometimes in our industry, all too often, people say, yeah, sure, we'll get it. And then they're like, we have no money. And so you see that often.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And finance background in corporate America really was a big help then.
Yes, it absolutely was. And it was funny when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to go to college for. My dad said, I said, I don't really, really know what I want to do. And I always liked business. I just knew that. And he goes, why don't you do accounting? Because it's the backbone to every business. And no matter what kind of business it is, you always got to understand the finances. I was like,
uh-huh.
Oh, that's a good idea. And that's what I decided to do.
Hmm. Very interesting. Okay, so you currently, I guess, take some education classes. Which
ones? I've taken all types of classes. So I did the 360. It's where I did that through Susie Carter and the Profit Coach. And this is where you answer a whole bunch of questions on you and your skills. And they would send an assessment to my staff. And they would answer them, and then they take it, all the information back, and it's kind of computed about basically where you are and your thoughts, where your staff is on their thoughts. And it's pretty, you know, it's pretty eye-opening, because there were some things, you know, like, for instance, I'm not good at interviewing, and, you know, someone else should do it. But it was a good thing, because I got to see where I thought I ranked high and where they thought I ranked high. Sometimes they were right on, and sometimes they were different. So I took that was pretty amazing. I took some classes through Empowering You. The B-School is something I took. And I truly believe, this is one thing I believe, you could always learn something from everybody. So even when I go to the conferences, I'll go listen to other speakers, other consultants, and just to see what they have. I've bought several different books. So I'm definitely one that will keep seeking out information all over the place. So, yeah.
Pretty smart, actually.
Yeah, well, I tell my staff, I mean, I always say to them, you know, the minute, especially in our industry, the minute you stop educating yourself on what's the newest colors, trends, styles, nail colors, all that stuff, you kind of get stuck in the past. And so I'm very big on education for all of them. And I think the more education they can get, the more the clients will benefit from them. And they know that for me, I do that personally. I've always enjoyed it, but they really see, like, I want to bring this stuff back because, I learned something. I'll bring it back to them to help them with their clients. So it's one of our culture things that I want everybody to be part of it for my salon spa.
Okay. So imagine you've had many ups and downs in the last 20 years in your business. What was your most difficult time during those 20 years?
I think one was really at the beginning. When I went from I took on a small spa. There was like five people. It was really small. And I took on more space, put on a hair department. Then I brought in a laser. And then we basically grew out all the space that there was. So when we moved from my first location to the building I bought, I went from like maybe 15 employees quickly to 50. And how you run a business with like 15 versus 50 is really different. So when I started, like, we were family, there was like six of us, seven, and like, we were all very close, oh, I'm going to run out and do an errand. Okay, great. And so I love that kind of feel. No one took advantage of it. But then as I grew, and, I was hiring more people, I really realized that I got to run this more like a business than like a family outing of some sort. So, and it was kind of hard for me because I was so close to the original group of us. And then I had to realize, like, okay, if I want to be an owner and a real owner and really, grow this business, I'm going to have to be an owner and not always your friend. So it was like an inner conflict with myself and how I wanted to do it. And it just came down, and I actually just sat them all down and said, listen, this is where we were. This is where we're going. Things need to change. You're not always going to be happy with me. And I kind of just told them straight out how it was, what was going to happen. And I think they got it, but I think I struggled with it a little bit more. So I think that was something that I had to kind of wrap my brain around. But in the long run, the more you run it like a business, the more people see it as a business. And, because I can't have like 50 people, employing 50 people, and they're all going out to lunch at the same time. I'm crazy. Like that. That was one thing that I remember. It was like, okay, and it was just growing pains for me.
Okay, so going from the small business to managing over 50 employees, I imagine that took some reading on your part, how to do that, some learning.
Yeah, it was that and really just getting completely structured and explaining that the more structure we have, the easier it is going to be for everybody because you know what you can do, when you can do it, how you do it. And when I continued just layers and layers of structure, it just seemed like harmony, more harmonious, I guess. So it worked a lot better.
Okay, very interesting. So before I talk specifically about the book, and the last time, you mentioned the very beginning of the talk that your mother took you to a modeling, because she taught modeling, she took you to the production when you were 8 years old. And did your sisters have the same reaction that you did early on?
It's funny. I think in certain ways. My youngest sister was 4 years younger than me, so at her, that age, no, she just liked being able to wear lipstick and a little eyeshadow. She was over the moon on that all the way around. But my middle sister, my middle sister was about a year younger than me. I think she really got it a lot. I think she was shy by nature in general. I think it helped her with her confidence quite a bit. And we always kid her that was a game changer for her at a young age. So I think for her, yes, it helped her in that respect, like just giving her a lot more confidence.
Did she go into the beauty industry?
No, she did not. She went into more teaching, like with kids and stuff like that. She has three kids, so she went into that. But she was still, when she was younger, she was so shy. She would hang on to my mother's leg all the time and, like, kind of stand behind my mom. And from, like, that day on, she wouldn't attach herself or stay behind my mom. She would stand next to her but on her own. And we all remember that very clearly that she did that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What about your daughter then? Daughters.
My oldest one, she's 22, just finished college. She graduated from the University of Alabama, and she's going into PA school. And so she's smart, smart girl. My younger one, my daughters are 10 years apart. My younger one is, she loves coming to the salon and spa, loves it. A, she thinks she walks around and she's kind of the boss and helps out. And we have a boutique, and inevitably every time she's there, something that's supposed to be sold in the boutique, she comes home with. I see, yeah, she's a girly girl. Like, do you want, I mean, even from, like, she was, like, real little, she would go in and get her ponytails done and get curls. I could see her going into something in the beauty industry someday.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. My younger daughter has ADHD, and I always have told my daughters, you know, I want you to dream big, swing big, and live big. And when my daughter, when she was diagnosed with ADHD very young, like 2, I think it was, she still to this day wants to be a veterinarian. Well, she's terrible at math. It's terrible. And I don't know if she'll ever get there, maybe a vet tech or something like that. But I always say, you know, they have totally different paths in life and stuff like that. And I just say, whatever your dream is, just, you know, go after your dream. You'll get there one way or the other. And
yeah.
So so that's actually how my clothing line came about. It was because of my daughters, how I wanted them to always be a badass in life. And my little one, who's 12, is allowed to say badass only at home. But she can say it. That's just the name of the clothing line. But that's how it came about. And I started a foundation for kids with ADHD that probably won't go to college, but maybe want to go to aesthetic school or cosmetology or court reporter or vet tech.
What?
And hopefully someday that it will be big enough to give grants to kids who want to do that stuff.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So is your husband involved in the beauty industry at all?
No. No, he's a finance guy, so he used to be a VP of finance. No, he doesn't. He did not come from the beauty industry at all, which is probably good because I would probably drive him nuts if we worked in the same industry for his
and
sanity.
Yourself, maybe, too.
Yes, yeah, I would have driven him nuts. No, but he is funny because, like, when we bought the building together, I said, you know, your job is, like, going to be in charge of the outside because I don't want to know anything about that. So he takes care of anything on the outside of the building and all the repairs. So that's lovely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So, to get into your book specifically, you had to interview a lot of people and write these things out. How long did it take you to write and put it all together?
I knew writing, I mean, I never did this before, so I knew it was going to be hard and long. I didn't really realize how long and hard it was going to be, you know. And because, I picked each of the person, and each person had a different set of questions and kind of what their chapter was about. So I was very prepared when interviewing them. And and it would be me and my assistant and my another person, all we'd be taking notes, you know, make sure we wouldn't lose anything. We had it recorded and stuff. And then we had to kind of transcribe it. It took 2 years, you know.
Wow.
And everyone says it's taking you so long. I'm like, I know, but there's a lot of work here. So. You know, you look at a book, it's like 125, 150 pages. You think, oh, this must have taken a couple of days or something. You don't know how much work it goes into it. And then trying to find somebody who's going to read it over again. My husband, he was always in charge of reading it over and over and over again. I got to the point where, like, I don't know if I'm reading the words anymore. I think I've read it so much and that's supposed to say this, so I assume it's this. So yeah, it was a very long process. It was like 2 years. Yeah. And I was like, oh, so glad when it was done.
So you were glad when it was done, but would you consider doing it again?
Maybe. Cause now I've launched the book. It's on Amazon. I'm doing another launch, hopefully, in September, where Amazon will give you 24 hours where you can tell all your friends to go on and get the book, and it's free of charge. So I'm doing that. I would say yes, but not for another 2 years.
Okay.
I would love to do, you know, a sequel to it or something, but not quite yet.
So, what advice do you want to give to people entering the beauty industry?
The first thing I would tell people is whatever you go into, whether it be hair, nails, you know, become the best of the best. Truly become very, very educated in what you're doing and know why you're doing certain things so you can educate your clients. That's first and foremost. Always stay up on education. And I think any business, if you're going to go into any business, do what you do well. Find the thing where you make the money and you're the highest producing income of that, whatever it is, and find others who are experts in, whether it be social media, marketing, and find experts to do that. Don't spin your wheels. I mean, there's just don't, because when you spin your wheels, you never going to be as good as the expert. You're always going to miss certain things. And a lot of times people end up spending so much more money learning things the hard way and then redoing them as if they instead of just went out and found someone to do that for them. And I would say get a coach. I think finding someone to help you in the right direction right off the start or at any point in the process where you're kind of stuck will really help further your career or your business. So I think those things are huge. And most people, they don't want to ask for help, hire help until they're, and this happens, I see this all the time, until they're almost like $100,000, $50,000 in debt until they're like so desperate. And I'd say don't wait for that to happen. Get someone who can help you right out of the gate.
Very interesting. Okay. So, just looking through your autobiography, it says you take classes all the time, but you also teach in the largest spa and salon conventions in the United States.
There are aesthetics or a cosmetology or beauty business, and some of your big ones are in New York City, Las Vegas, Orlando, and there's shows all around the United States. And I'll be asked to go and teach, and, you know, they'll say, what subjects do you want to teach? Do you want to teach, you know, how to get your niche clients? Do you want to teach some marketing? Do you want to teach something on the P&L? And so then I'll go to those big venues and have classes and stuff like that, and just talk to people who were once me trying to figure it out and stuff. I love doing that because that's kind of like where I get into, you know, helping people, teaching them, hoping that when they leave my room, my classroom, they've got some real things to help their business.
Okay, then. That makes sense. So that's what you want to teach people how to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Grow their own business and, you know, advance themselves.
Yes, exactly. I still have some consulting clients. I don't have as many as I did before. What happens is I will teach, like, 3 or 4 different kinds of classes to like a few people, like 6 people at a time. So I feel like I'm helping more people than just one at a time. I wish I could help change the industry as a whole a lot faster, a lot quicker.
Well, I guess you got to write another book sooner than 2 years then, Karen.
Yeah.
Just what you wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go on to any more questions, tell people how to get in touch with you in case people want to consult you about something in their business.
Okay, well, you can go in LinkedIn, and my LinkedIn is Karen Padetti, and so I'm there, and you can always message me through there, and I have a lot of people who will do that. You could also, if you're interested in the book, you can go to www.iconicriches.com, Rags to Riches. And the other thing I get also is a lot of people want the course, and that is www.iconicriches.com, Rags to Riches in Action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Rags to Riches. And action. Okay, so people can find that by your course, your books, and get in touch with you through that.
Yeah. Okay. And LinkedIn, if you want to set up a call or something, you can do that through my LinkedIn.
Okay, very nice. So you make yourself available to answer questions and
help.
Because there's salon and spa owners all over the country, I'm sure, are just really from the pandemic and just trying to get over it.
Yes, definitely. I mean, some people really, they actually closed up shop, claimed bankruptcy, and then reopened under a different name to do, you know, to start over again because they were in such despair.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, you said you're on LinkedIn. Are you also on Facebook?
Yep, I'm on Facebook. I have my own, it's called Karen Padetti Rags to Riches. And I have my own Facebook group, too. So, I also go live every Monday and Wednesday at 12 Eastern Time. And I try to give, like, different tips on different things. Someone will message me, can you talk about this? Can you talk about that? I've talked about average ticket at marketing, how to increase your sales. So I'm on live, and I only go on for like 5 to 10 minutes. I try to always give them, whatever I'm talking about, give them some tips. And I have a lot of free templates that if they log on and go into the Facebook group, they can go in and get some free templates to use for their business.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So
yeah.
I want to ask you, as someone who knows nothing about the fashion industry myself, I mean, yeah, I have somebody who does my hair, but, you know, and that's as far as I've gotten into. I've never worn makeup in my life, et cetera, et cetera. So how do you, like, pick the style, find out the styles and colors that are trending now?
Really, that is actually kind of goes back to the fashion shows, like the Met Ball, the Emmy Awards, Grammy Awards, all those awards. When you see, like, the top colors coming out and the top styles, those are the big stylists, like all your big clothing designers style it, and they're actually showing or debuting the styles for the upcoming season, and that's where they get the colors, the nail colors, the hairdos, and stuff of that nature. So it's not something like you can kind of, oh, in this winter I'm going to pick these. It's really, it's all driven basically by celebrities in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know. Yeah, and so nowadays there's big influencers, and so the influencers watch what the celebrities and stylists are doing, and they start talking about it and becomes like a big thing. Yeah, the phones and the internet, you'd be shocked at what a huge role it plays in the fashion world and the beauty world now.
Oh, that's something I know nothing about. It's just fascinating. There's so much to talk about, so much to do within the fashion world. I mean, wow, what a concept.
Yeah, and you're right. There is so much, and it's always, always, always changing. You know, it's even like, you know, the keywords for facials. One word is hydration, then it's peptides, then it's hyaluronic acid. And they have different buzzwords every year. And you're like, okay, what is it this year? What's the new thing? So it is. It is always evolving and always changing.
Huh. That's just amazing. It's just amazing. But, and you said you find hairstyles and clothing styles from the award shows. That makes a lot of sense. But you do your own clothing, I guess, from a clothing line, Badass People.
Yeah. With mine, I wanted it to be mine is right now just mostly like tank tops, T-shirts, sweatshirts, sweatpants, workout kind of clothes,
mm-hmm.
With the logo on it. Someday it will probably expand more, but that's where I started it, and so that was something, like when you say how do you balance things, when I was writing the book and doing all that I didn't keep evolving the line. I kept everything as, you know, still as and hats and stuff. And it was funny, just a month ago I said, all right, we got to get new colors in, we got to do this, we got to do that. And they all started laughing at me because, like, okay, switch gears. Now, you know, now I got to get evolved badass even more.
Uh-huh. So did the people you interviewed for your book, are they particularly interested in other aspects of the industry? I mean, did they read your book and comment on it?
Yes. Actually, a lot of them went on their own social media and talked about, because I said when I did it, I did a media box for all of them.
Uh-huh.
It had the book, and it had a flyer with everybody in the book, who they were, what they did. It talked about their chapter and stuff. So I had a whole box, and it was pretty nice, and I sent it to them. Just so they knew, like, you know, I wasn't some fly-by-night somebody, you know, that I took it seriously. You know, I did a great job and stuff. And a lot of them went on their own social media and talked about it. And that was pretty cool to see them and say, you know, like, oh, wow. So that was very nice. And so they did that for me and stuff like that. And in the book, like, for instance, Drew, he has his own line. It's called Crux. And it has, like, different hair clips and brushes and stuff. Like, he designed his whole line, so it's in there. Barbara, who was a model back in Paris, and then she, her and her that boyfriend, I'm going to marry him, husband, they came to the United States. And, you know, she got to the age where she says, you know, I was getting too old for modeling, and but I love the industry. So she ended up being a groomer, and she ended up being like Tom Hanks' groomer, which she cut men's hair and trimmed beards and stuff. And she put, she came up with a oil, and it's an oil for people with very sensitive skin or acneic skin. And it's all natural ingredients. She actually made it with a friend, started it in her kitchen based on ingredients. And so, like, I talked about that in her book. So some of these people, you know, besides doing that, also have different things going on. And I wanted to make sure, like, anything that they were doing, like I mentioned, you know, help support them, get it out there, stuff like that. So, yeah, it was, they were just, it was just really kind of cool, the whole thing.
Very interesting. So I know that, I mean, in terms of hair, my basically, the only thing I really know about this industry is, you know, the things my hairdresser tells me. And she talks about the difference between different races and the makeup of their hair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Now it's funny. I'm not, I have my aesthetics license, so I'm on the spa side. I never got my COS license or my hair license because I was so bad at it just as a, being a kid. And they always kind of kidded me. I would come into work thinking, oh, my hair looks really good today. And, you know, again, I'm not the best at doing hair. So I think, okay, I spent time. It took me over half an hour. It is good. And then one of my hairstylists would go, hey, Karen, you want to sit down? I'll do your hair. And I'd be looking at them like, I just did it. They go, yeah, I know. I'll fix it. and I would go, really, I tried. They go, yeah, I know. We can tell you tried. It just doesn't look good. So it is funny. Like, thankfully, I was smart enough to know I would probably never do well in hair because I just didn't have that knack. But I definitely love the spa side. And the, you know, that side of it. So it is funny to me when the people talk about hair and the different types and stuff like that. Like, I have very, very fine hair. And so they always laughed at me because they always said, Karen, you're always using the wrong shampoo. I'm like, I thought this is what I'm supposed to be using because this is what, you know, Peyton uses, my younger daughter. They go, no, she has thick hair. She has lots of hair. I don't know why you keep using that. So, yeah, and it really does make a huge difference.
Yeah, that's what a person tells me. I mean, I never knew there was any difference, really.
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget that when I was at, I had just put on, added the salon, and I had, like, 5 hairdressers, and they, one of the girls washed my hair for me, and I was like, no, I'll just towel dry it. And so I took a towel and got fine hair, and the whole salon stopped and stared at me. And I'm like, everybody is staring at me. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what am I doing? I go, I'm just drying my hair. And they said, do you always do that? And I said, yeah. And they said, you're breaking off all your hair. Stop doing that. And I guess because I towel dried it so much that it really was almost dry because it was kind of fine. They're like, you couldn't do more damage to your hair if you tried. And I'm like, no one ever told me that. And they just laugh. They go, only you, Karen, only you. But, yeah, so I learned that day how to properly towel dry your hair, how to properly wash your hair, just so you know, you wash You wash the, not the hair itself, but more of the scalp. You wash your scalp and then a little bit of the hair, but the hair is kind of dead, so you don't need to wash that. And then when you use conditioner, you don't really put, you don't put it on your scalp at all. You just comb it through your ends and stuff. I'm like, wow, I never knew that. And, it, you know, I learned that like many, many, many years ago.
Very interesting. So you're more into the modeling and the whole appearance of the person.
Yeah, more like the facials. Well, I did all laser, like laser hair removal electrolysis. So all that, facials and eyebrows and things of that nature. I was pretty ingredient driven. Like I liked the ingredients of a lot of the skincare products. So I wanted to know why was this good, what's in this particular product, what's it doing. And so I really liked that aspect. And again, you know, we carry three different product lines. One is all natural, it's Aveda, it's organic. But then we carry a medical line, and then we carry something, SkinCeuticals, which is in between. But, you know, again, not everything is right for the same person. So, and
right.
Really, why, what is it, what's good for what?
So
I like that aspect of it. And, again, when I was young, I used to, you know, I'm in my 50s now, and when I was young, you know, the baby oil out in the sun was like a big thing. And I used to do that, and I'll never forget, I was going to a dermatologist for something, and they had a skin scope there. And I was, you know, I was 20, my late 20s, I believe. And I remember thinking, oh, and I was watching people put their face in and out of there, and I put my face in there, and I used to lifeguard, you know, through college, that was my summer job. And I saw all the skin damage I had, and I thought from that day on, I never put my face in the sun again. I always had sunscreen and a hat on, and I've had to use, you know, different products just to correct all the sun damage I did.
Wow.
So it was that when I saw that, I was like, oh, wow, that I realized. it was pretty scary, and I was young that I had so much skin damage. So, yeah, so when I talk to, like, my young, you know, clients who come in, I think that's a great idea. We have a skin scope now, so I can actually show them that that's not a great idea, so I could show them their face.
Very interesting. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I'm a few years older than you are, and I've just started wearing sunscreen when I go outside. And it's like, what a concept.
Yeah, and our generation, there wasn't like, go put your sunscreen on. It was none of that. And so, yeah, but, you know, now, and it's, thankfully, we have young kids who are really good about wearing their sunscreen and stuff. And so they'll be much better off many years to come.
Oh, man. Okay, so I think we're in a pretty good, we've talked about most things I can think of to talk about. Do you have any stories you'd like to just add to close with?
You know, for people in the beauty industry, there's a lot of different opportunities. That's one of the things I wanted to make sure people knew in the book. There's tons of opportunities. It's an industry where anyone's welcome. You know, that's the other thing. You could be as different as you want to be in our industries, and it's acceptable, I guess. You know, and if you go into it with the mindset that, first of all, make sure it is your passion, because you see a lot of people who will graduate like high school but don't want to go to college, and they think, oh, what should I do? And they default to beauty school. I'm not sure really why that is. But go into it if you're passionate about it, because if you're passionate, that's the people that end up being superstars. So,
yeah.
You know, it's anything in life. Follow your passion, and you'll end up where you want to be.
Okay, well, thank you very much for talking to me tonight, Kara. This was a lot of fun. And
well, thank you so much. I enjoyed it so much. It was wonderful chatting with you.
I'm going to tell a few people I know they have to listen to this podcast because some people I know something about this. Might be, you know, might learn something from you and our talk. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
And you're in New York, so get to sleep, okay?
Thank you. And let me know when it will go so I can put it on all my social media as well.
Okay, I'll send you some copies. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Good night, Karen.
Okay, bye.